Thanks, Lindsay. What a great reading. Anyway, meaningless. We're thinking about there's more to life than this. It's the first week of Alpha. We look at that question. The question of whether or not this is it. Is this it? Is there more to life? There must be more to life. And so we looked at Ecclesiastes 1 to 11 because we believe it's written by Solomon, and it would appear to be Solomon on a bad day. Solomon saying that there is nothing more. He talks a lot about the sun, did you notice? Sun goes up, sun comes down. He also talks about the circle of life with regards to H2O. The water, it's always going to the sea. The sea never gets full, and then somehow it manages to get all the way back to where it started, and then it comes again. And it's just this idea of a cycle. But he talks about the sun, doesn't he? Sun goes up, sun comes down, sun goes up. There's got to be more to life than this. In fact, if we just look at just a few of the verses in particular, some of us, if we're a little bit older, might find this a little confronting. Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. Generations come, generations go. There's been people who've been mothers and fathers, and then go, and the ones that were sons and daughters become mothers and fathers, and then they go, and that's the way it is. Did you notice it sort of hurts a little bit? The ones that went before us, we're sort of forgotten. When we go, we're sort of going to be forgotten. Brings things back to perspective, doesn't it? But then he talks about the sun. The sun rises, the sun sets, hurries back to where it rises. There is nothing new under the sun. The sheet of the artwork that we're using, that's a photo that I took when we were on holidays in South Australia. And so as we come to this, that's a much more edited version of the same picture. It's a sunset. We heard that there was this really nice sunset. You had to go for a bit of a bush walk to get to it. So we went for a little bit of a walk to get to that sunset. And on the way, we saw wallabies, which wasn't unusual on our holiday, but it was nice to see them again. And we also saw some parrots and were able to take some photos, had the camera with the big lens. We also encountered some kids, humans. That was pretty awesome too. You know, you get out of Sydney to leave the humans behind, and in the middle of nowhere, there they are again. But that was okay. Beautiful kids, they were, you know, humans, each one unique and special. There must be more to life. And sunsets made me think, you know, the sun rises and the sun sets. The writer of Ecclesiastes even mentions sunsets, doesn't he? And I was thinking about sunsets, and we went on this beautiful walk, and we were able to look down across to where the sun was setting over the ocean and just marvel at this sunset. Have you ever noticed with a sunset that you'll never see two sunsets that are the same? Have you noticed that? They're always different. It depends on the clouds, depends on, you know, the time of the year, it depends on all sorts of things. But have you noticed that if you look at one particular sunset and you close your eyes and you count to 30 and you open your eyes, that sunset will now be different? Have you noticed that? Is there anything more? Is there nothing new? The sun just rises, the sun sets. See, hear what the writer to Ecclesiastes is saying. There's nothing new, but you've got to ask the question, dude, have you opened your eyes? Like the sun just sets. No, the sun sets. Look at the sunset. As we were on that holiday, we came to Menindee Lakes, and I had about 50 photos to go through for this sunset before I could find the one that I thought I'd share with you today. But look at the sky. The sun's still quite high in that sunset, but the sky, there was this display of clouds that was just weird. And as the sun set, you could just see these clouds, but then they moved. And once again, every sunset is different, and yet every 30 seconds between intervals with the same sunset is different, constantly changing. Perhaps there is actually more than this, but weirdly it's already here. Maybe there's more than we notice, but it's already here. It's just that it happens every day. We lose sight of it. Now, I'm a morning person. I'm actually not a sunset person. And we were on holidays earlier this year. It was May. I don't know if you noticed, July's been quite warm. May was quite cold. Did you notice? And we were up at Diamond Head, and I went for a walk as the sun was coming up. I foolishly went in bare feet. That was okay, though, because I stopped feeling my feet after a while. But this was sunrise. On the left there is Diamond Head. And once again, sunrise, it's just like a sunset, in the sense that everyone is different and unique, but also it's just constantly changing as time goes by. It's just one sunrise is not just one sunrise. And yet, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, the sun goes up, the sun goes down. Same old, same old. There must be something more, perhaps. And I think there is. I don't know about you, but I like old cars. They don't have to go. I like going for walks out in the bush and discovering old cars, especially when you're out in sort of, you know, the western parts of Australia, which are really dry, because they don't rust like they do here, and they'll be there for ages. And we were at a place called Arkaroola, and we were sort of going for a bit of a drive in the four-wheel drive, and we went past this wreck of a car, and so I wanted to take photos of it. And I thought it'd be really cool and arty if I sort of got a part of the car really close in the foreground and had a shot that went past. And so I sort of came up to this wreck of a vehicle, and I had my head and sort of there and was taking this photo. And it wasn't till after I'd taken the photo that I realized there was something in the photo that had been right next to my head. As I was preparing to take the photo, there's this bearded dragon that was just sitting there sunning itself. And it was like, as it's sitting there chilling, it's sort of like doing the old, I'm not going to move, and you won't know I'm here. And you know what? I didn't. And then I freaked out. But he still didn't move. How often in life is there more, but we just miss it? Do you know what I mean? Happens all the time. And sometimes we're fortunate enough to see it, sometimes we're not. As we were going on our trips, especially as I think on the way out to Menindi Lakes, we went past a tree. And I can't remember what was on the tree. You may have seen this if you've gone on road trips in parts of country Australia where somebody on the side of the road will stop and they'll put something on the tree. I've seen thong trees. Somebody stops, they take a thong and they put it on the tree. And the next person driver goes, oh, there's a thong on the tree, excellent. And they take the thong off and they put, and the next thing you know, you go past a tree and it's covered in thongs. Or underwear, that's another one I've seen. But somebody, we're actually at a truck stop near Cobar, and there was this, somebody had tried desperately to start a Teletubby tree. But nobody, when they drive along in country New South Wales, goes, oh, let's get the Teletubby out of the car, because no one has a Teletubby. But we'd been there for quite some time, and I'd taken photos of a bunch of different birds. I also found an old car not far away that I took more photos of. And this Teletubby escaped my notice. And then I saw him, and I thought, this is so delightful. It's a Teletubby. There was just a little thing. Once again, this time it wasn't nature, it was humans, once again, had sort of invaded and left their mark. There must be more. Now, if you look on the internet at quotes, you'll find this quote, and you may find that it says that Soren Kierkegaard said it, but also if you do Google this quote, you'll find that about 50 people said this, apparently. But Soren Kierkegaard is one of the people who is said to have said this. Life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced. This idea that it's not just something that we're here to, I don't know, achieve a mark with or something in one sense, but that actually life is something that is maybe a mystery that sort of unravels as you go along. Maybe we're actually supposed to notice that there's things that we don't notice. Maybe we're supposed to notice that there's things that are different and new as we go along. Now, the interesting thing is that the writer of Ecclesiastes, who said everything was meaningless, which was very well read, thank you, Lindsay, he wrote other things as well. He wrote a whole bunch of things called Proverbs. So this guy who wrote that everything is meaningless, sun comes up, sun goes down, yada, 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 also wrote this. Now, Ecclesiastes 1, 1-11, maybe it's Solomon on a really bad day. This is Solomon when he's a little bit more on fire. Have a crack at this. There are three things that are too amazing for me. Four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, the way of a man with a maiden. That's different to Ecclesiastes 1, 1-11, isn't it? No? Suddenly he has a mystery and wonder about what he sees, rather than just a same old, same old. The idea of there being more than this, suddenly Solomon seems to see it. I don't know if you analyze this, what exactly Solomon is saying. There are three things that are too amazing. I think they're the first three things. He says they're too amazing for me. The way of an eagle in the sky, can't, too amazing for me. The way of a snake on a rock, too amazing for me. The way of a ship on the high seas, too amazing for me. But there's four things that I don't understand. In other words, I don't want to say that the way of a man with a maiden is too amazing for me, but I don't understand it. This is the guy who had how many wives? Still doesn't get it. So there is more than this. We just don't often see it. We live life, the rat race, sort of on tracks where we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. If you were to take those four things that he talks about, they actually sort of represent four different things in a way, if you want. The first is, this is my take on it, the idea of freedom. The way of an eagle in the sky, to me, that's freedom. The way of a snake on a rock, that's danger, because I live in Australia, so it must be dangerous. It's probably venomous. The way of a ship on the high seas, that's adventure. The way of a man with a maiden, there's love. There's these four things that he says are amazing. One of which, all of which he doesn't understand. Freedom, danger, adventure, love. Is there more than this? Probably. Especially if you haven't been open to freedom and danger and adventure and love, because all four of those things open you up into new things, don't they? That's what freedom does. That's what danger does. That's what adventure does. That's what love and relationship does. So Jesus in all of this has a bit to say as well when it comes to the idea that there must be more. In Matthew 6, he says this, and often we don't necessarily think of these things when we read these words that Jesus said. But in Matthew 6, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures in on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermins do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, we don't necessarily always think of it this way, but Jesus is actually providing us with a little glimpse that there is maybe more than the rat race. Maybe there's more to life than accumulating stuff. Because that's what he's talking about in the first bit, isn't it? Accumulating stuff, which is what life often becomes about. The getting up and the getting, going off to work and then the coming home and the going to bed and the getting up and going to work. It's the accumulation of stuff. And yet, he points us to something more. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If indeed you're happy with life being just this, Jesus says, it'll just be this. But there's more. There's more if you care to open your eyes, he says. This is actually a little bit of a different way to what Jesus often said. Do you remember what he often said? He'd often say, "For those who have ears to hear, let them hear." This one he's saying, for those who have eyes to see that there is more than accumulating stuff. In fact, if you can see that, so much light is going to come in. If you can't see that, it's really dark. One of the things that they say in the first Alpha video is they talk about how some people discover, when they discover Jesus, they discover life in technicolor for the first time. Before that, it was just black and white. And Jesus is saying, well, it's darkness without me. There's darkness if it's just about the mundane and the accumulating things. But if you can see that there is more, there is so much light. And so we have Ecclesiastes 1:1-11 as, I guess, the starting point with the question, is there more to the life than this? This can't be it. There must be more. And the answer is, and Solomon would say this, I believe, yes, there is more. There is so much more. The trap is that we start to not see the more, if indeed we ever have opened our eyes to it. And so there was a verse that we looked at a bit as we went into the pandemic. I don't know if you remember it. Because the pandemic was a bit different, wasn't it? See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Do you see it? He asks. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. There's actually something new, and it's a newness that comes in to bring life where there was not life. Makes things, places that are a wasteland, it brings life to them. It was great to hear some of the stories that were shared earlier. And it's interesting, stories about end of life, where people come to the end of life, they know that life is going to end soon. Creates a time where sometimes people, maybe for the first time, get real about things. Because they realize that the end is coming. And so they get real about maybe regrets, about life that they've wasted, relationships. Very rarely in end-of-life experiences do people start getting real about the accumulation of more stuff. Their eyes are open to greater things. And it's at that end-of-life stage, I think, where God does sometimes some of his best work with people. And so to return to Jesus for a moment after being in Isaiah, Jesus said this little parable, and it's a real mini parable. It's a really little one, and yet it speaks into this again, I think, so profoundly. Where he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, looking, notice, looking, seeking, fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away, he sold everything he had, and he bought it. It really comes down to the value that we place on life and the more that is there. And Jesus encourages us to do that. He points to the fact that there is more and that there is probably something in us even maybe that is seeking and hungry for it. But there needs to come a time where we go, yeah, I want more and I'm willing to give everything I have to have more. I remember on another holiday, because I've told you about so many of my holidays today, haven't I? And there was one, went on quite a while ago, and we went down to the Otway Peninsula. I don't know if you're familiar with the Otway Peninsula, and it's one of those places where it has a sign. It says, oh, koalas, you know, the next however many kilometres. Have you ever noticed when you do that, you see a sign, oh, next whatever? The other night, actually, I was on a road in the dark, a road that I was not familiar with, and it said deer for the next 10 kilometres or whatever it was. And the next thing you know, there was a deer in the middle of the road. So there you go. It does happen. But Otways, it has a little sign. It says koalas. And so you're actually in danger of hitting somebody from then on because koalas are up trees, aren't they? So you're driving, looking like this. And we came around a corner, and there in the middle of the road, do you know what it was? Koala. And so it was in the middle of the road. It was sort of wandering across the road. It stopped in the middle of the road, sat down and was scratching itself. while cars in the other direction sort of braked and stopped, and we had to stop. And this koala was just like, it was like it was paid to be there. Like, you know, the tourist people have said there's koalas here, and so I've got to be here on duty for the next hour, scratching myself in the middle of the road so everybody knows there really is koalas. But the thing about koalas is you can be in the bush and there can be koalas there and you won't notice them. But once you've noticed a koala, suddenly your eyes are open to the koalas. It's like you start to be able to recognize them and you see them. And so when we were in the Otways Peninsula, we discovered where we were camping, there was the tree above us had all these koalas in it. And then we also discovered that during the night, koalas make a lot of noise. Anyway, your eyes are open when you start looking and you start recognizing things. It's almost this idea of looking and recognizing and then being committed to pursuing this more. And so the question is, I guess, for us this morning is, where are you at with this? Is this something that you are committed to, being open to that reality that there is more? Not because necessarily there's something that wasn't that is now, but because you haven't had your eyes open. You haven't been guided to it, perhaps. You haven't just seen it. Or maybe it's the same thing that's always been there, but looking at it with fresh eyes and fresh understanding. And so the question, as we think of what Jesus says in Matthew 13, would you like to consider how it is that you throw everything into this more that seems to be offered by God? Jesus says in John 10:10 that he had come so that we might have life and that we might have it to the full. Not that we would just get up another day, accumulate more stuff, go to bed, to sleep, to do it all again. He actually came that we might have life to the full. Think of eagles, think of snakes, think of ships, think of young men with maidens. There's so much more. If you are familiar with Lectio 365, there has a little, whether you want to call it a blessing at the end of it or a little prayer at the end of it, to send you on your way for the day. And I thought it might be a great way to finish, because it's a little prayer that says, God, maybe help me be a part of what is more today. And so it says this, and maybe you would like in the quietness of your own heart to pray it as I pray it, but this simple prayer of, I guess, commitment to the more. It says, Father, help me live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. And Jesus, help me give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. And Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen.